Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back. I hope you did have a very nice lunch break and also interesting poster session. It looks really like Girona has sent its beautiful sun all over the Europe right now. So when we cannot come to Girona, at least we have this beautiful sunshine all over the place. Now I really do have this immense pleasure and honor to really introduce you to the most special session of this entire conference. Why is that? Well, you all know that Aaron Antonovsky has been the regional author of Salutogenesis. Probably most of you, including myself, never had really the opportunity for a personal exchange with Aaron, which is certainly a big pity and something I really would have loved to have. So we are very grateful and proud to have two persons in our global working group of Salutogenesis who did have a very close relationship with Aaron in different ways. On the one hand, we have Avishai Antonovsky, as you got to know him already in the plenary as his son, who is not only a strong promoter of Salutogenesis, but also a very active contributor for advancing Salutogenesis since he has joined our working group. And Shifra, who is certainly a well-known person in the field. She has been a former PhD student and then long-term research collaborator of Aaron Antonovsky. And she not only helped to develop this concept, but has been advancing this concept way beyond its original, I would say, importance, really to move it also beyond the health sector into other fields she will talk a lot about tomorrow. So now I'm really very happy that you take your time and share your stories with all of us. And I really would like to thank you for the wisdom, for the warmth and even love you bring to our global working group and for providing this very close link to this original author of Salutogenesis. And you will first now see a video. But audience, please write questions or comments in the chat because that would be nice. Avishai and Shifra will respond to your questions later. So now, video, go on, please.
Welcome, everybody. And we are glad very much that you are here with us. I would like to introduce myself. I'm a professor emerita of social psychology and educational psychology at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev. And I'm one of the editors of the Handbook of Salutogenesis that most of you must know it.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Avishai Antonovsky. I'm glad to be here with you. Too bad it's only on Zoom. I would prefer face-to-face. I'm a social psychologist. I work mainly in the area of mental health promotion, based mostly on salutogenic theory. I also play the piano, and I'm an amateur, although quite serious, photographer. As you can see, Shifra and I are sitting in our gardens, and the garden was one of Aaron Antonovsky's favorite places. It was a very, very important hobby for him, and I'll get back to that later in our discussion.
So Professor Antonovsky, or Aaron, as he would prefer that we call him, was a father figure for both of us. For you, Avishai, as his only child, and for me, I was his only doctoral student many years ago.
Mm-hmm. We would like to discuss a few issues and tell some stories that can teach us something about Aaron and his inseparable aspects of his personal, ideological, and professional life. We will do this by raising questions and not necessarily answering them, but rather use them as starting points for sharing some insights and perhaps stimulating some thoughts. After all, Aaron always said that the questions are more important than the answers. Good question, he used to say, bring good answers. The first question we would like to ask about Aaron's life actually has to do with his passing. In 1994, at the age of 71, he died prematurely. At what point in his life did he allow himself to leave us, and why? And is there any meaning in the fact that he was diagnosed with cancer only 7 weeks before he died, suffering no physical pain? Shifra, what is your theory?
I will try to say my theory. When Aaron was diagnosed and admitted to the hospital, he was in the midst of some very fruitful academic work. In those days, we had already completed a large-scale study on retirees. I was his doctoral student and the coordinator of this research. The data of this study gave a very strong empirical support to his new ideas of salutogenesis and to the new construct of sense of coherence. We had already published some papers based on this data, and Aaron started to feel that he's posing the new revolutionary question of salutogenesis and coining the new term of sense of coherence became much more accepted. This was after he had completed his two classic books, Health, Stress, and Coping in 1979, and Unraveling the Mystery of Health in 1987, but still felt, and I quote him, a strong sense of isolation. Moreover, we had just been awarded a small grant to study the origins of the development of sense of coherence, which became a very crucial question after discovering the powerful predictive value of sense of coherence towards health. So from the academic point of view, we can say that Aaron could allow himself to leave us as he felt that his revolutionary ideas that posed a fundamentally different philosophical assumption about the world had become much more accepted.
He felt satisfied from the family point of view as well. After retiring, he and my mother Helen moved back to their old house in Jerusalem, where they could live closer to their grandchildren, whom they very much loved. So on the one hand, he had so many more things to do. On the other hand, he had a fulfilling life full of accomplishments. On the day that he died, when he understood that it was the end, he said, "I'm leaving the world with utmost satisfaction."
I watched him during his short time of illness and strongly felt his refusal to accept the role of being sick. Would being sick have contradicted his theory, given that he had a strong sense of coherence? This raises or brings us to our second question about Aaron that we wish to discuss here. Did he really have a strong sense of coherence? Relating to this question, we will look at the three components of sense of coherence. The first is comprehensibility. He developed a clear view of the challenges he faced and could predict future ones. Aaron had very crystallized ideas that you can easily learn in his books and papers. He was also led by a very strong ideology with clear values and clear rules. This was expressed in his research work as well as in his leadership in the Department of Sociology of Health at Ben-Gurion University, where I served. He was very strict and demanding when it came to academic work. I was personally challenged by this in writing my doctoral dissertation, and even now, some 30 years later, I still keep working in this way. Aaron was an ideologist in his political and social life as well. As a socialist, he kept searching for equality among people. This was reflected, for example, on the social, less formal level. He took part in our department duties, such as washing dishes or baking cakes for Friday departmental meetings.
I heard he once baked a grapefruit cake because that was the only fruit he had at home. Apropos informality, I was told that his first secretary would call him Professor Antonovsky, and that drove him crazy. "We work together. Call me Aaron," he demanded. And there are other examples. For instance, he wore sandals in the summer and never wore a tie, unlike most people in his status. Suzanne Kobesa, who developed the theory of hardiness, once told me about a meeting she had with Aaron in 1982 at his parents' home in New York. She said, "Aaron was dressed informally, an army-like khaki shirt. I've seen this kind of shirt, but usually in films in a desert area, not in the streets of Brooklyn or Chicago. I wore a suit," she said, "but his outfit was more appropriate for the summer heat that day. I looked more or less like I thought that a young lecturer should look like at a meeting with a senior scholar."
As for manageability, the other component of sense of coherence, he found the resources, educational, economic, social, physical, mental, to cope with the challenges he posed. Mostly, as he said, he inherited resistant resources from his parents, and he knew how to use them.
Shifra, what about your claim regarding the most important component of the sense of coherence, meaningfulness? And how was that expressed in Aaron's life?
I agree. Meaningfulness is the most important component of sense of coherence, as I understand it. When Aaron talked with me about this component of sense of coherence, I told him about Viktor Frankl, who survived the concentration camps during the Holocaust. I gave him the book, The Meaning of Life. Aaron was very excited to get to know this little book. He agreed with me that this component of sense of coherence is the most powerful. I trust Aaron's life was meaningful in every aspect. Yoav Ishai will tell us later about the small family which was so important to him. I saw it in his dedication to the scientific work and his courage to introduce a completely new paradigm to the pathogenic-oriented science. He was so brave in his dedication to ask new questions. It was not easy. Most of all, his life story reveals a real authentic idealist with a strong sense of commitment to his ideals. For many years, Aaron was an active figure in the left-wing struggle in Israel. Actually, we first met in these circles of peace activists. Our last meeting outside the hospital was in an exciting happening near Gaza after the Rabin Arafat meeting during the Oslo Accords. We both were so excited to hear the peace bells. We saw there are peace bells. Perhaps it was a good point for Aaron to leave the world. You all know how this hopeful, brave step of Rabin has ended.
Well, there's still hope. We shouldn't lose hope.
I agree.
He found a great deal of meaning in his family as well. I was a teenager in the 70s when Aaron was busy setting up the medical school and teaching students the meaning of being a good doctor. First of all, compassion. And he was writing his first book describing the salutogenic model, Health, Stress, and Coping. Nonetheless, when he was at home, evenings and weekends, he devoted himself to the family. He would sit after supper with my mother, Helen, in the living room after washing the dishes, read a book and sometimes fall asleep, or engage in a family conversation. He loved museums, music, going on hikes, and working in the garden. I don't know if you can hear the birds here in the background. Anyway, this is where he would like to be right now, in the garden. I remember one day, after having planted some bushes in the garden, he looked at them and said, "I'm no expert gardener, but I can easily explain why some plants fail to grow and die. The big mystery," he said, "is how some plants do stay healthy and survive the desert heat and dryness." 10 years later, he wrote his second book, Unraveling the Mystery of Health. Perhaps he was talking about plants. Who knows?
I'm sure he was talking about them. So it seems then that Aaron did have a strong sense of coherence. But as far as comprehensibility, which involves some degree of confidence in knowing what the future would look like, I'm not sure he would have been able to see in the best of his dreams that 27 years after he passed away, there would already be a second edition of the Handbook of Salutogenesis and a sixth international conference on salutogenesis. I'm sure he would be happy to see it.
I'm sure. I agree with you. He would be delighted to know how it turned out. After all, he didn't think of his theory as a perfect model of how things work. He saw it as just a beginning, a fruitful starting point.
So thank you all for listening to us. Comments are very welcome. We would also like to refer to the Handbook of Salutogenesis, where Avishai and I have a chapter on Aaron Antonovsky, the scholar and the man. Those of you who are interested will find there a detailed account of Aaron's personal and professional life as the creator of salutogenesis.
Thank you, everyone. This ends our recorded video, and now we will join you in live Zoom, so you're welcome to ask questions or make comments, and I wish you all a great conference. Thank you, Shifra. Thank you.
Thank you, Avishai. Thank you.
Okay, Shifra, now we are going back. Hello all again. We watched the video. We have a moment of technical issues. As you know, this is Zoom, this is live, this is online. But Shifra, we would like to know, we loved your video.
Thank you very much. I am a good partner, yes. Avishai disappeared now, yes.
Avishai disappeared, but he will come. He's in the test zone.
Back. Yes, but we have only time.
Now we are live again, Shifra, you and I.
Okay.
And I would like to know if you had an advice, or which was your biggest learning, one of your biggest learnings that you would say, if I had the like three biggest learnings, which one would be the first one to share with us audience related to salutogenesis?
Wow, this is the question. it's a very difficult question, because I learned a lot from Aaron, and he really influenced my life, because I came to the university at age 40, and I continued just because I had such a mentor that opened my mind to the academic world. And the most, if you ask about one thing, which is
not, it can be two.
No, I will say one thing is what he always told me and the other student. I was his only doctoral student, but there were other students. Always told us the most important thing is the question that you are asking. If you are asking questions, you will develop other ideas, you will develop new ideas, you will develop. The most important thing is to keep asking, not to get everything as is. And until now, I'm still keep asking questions, even in my in my age. I keep asking questions also now in the corona. So people think that what he asked, what he told us, is only to ask salutogenic question. No, he really reacted to life with question mark. And he taught us to ask questions and encourage me always. This is also the second thing, but it is connected to the first one. He always encouraged me to fight with him, as I can say.
Yeah.
Not to accept what he says as a, you know, as something that this is the theory. No. If you have, and this was from the first interview he did to me when I came to become his, I wanted to become his coordinator. I felt that he's encouraging me to not to accept everything. That was my feeling. He didn't say this. And I started to say, hey, you need to do this and not to do this. And and after it, I came to my home and said to my husband, I lost my job.
questioning yourself.
Yes. But
good. We are back. Avishai has come back.
Oh, Avishai.
Yes, I'm come back. Schiffer has left me speechless, so you didn't hear me.
We're saying about one of the learnings. I was asking Schiffer, one of the big learnings about Aaron, your father, was the what you are repeating constantly, like make good questions and then the answers will come. I think and don't believe, and Schiffer, if I can summarize a moment, is don't believe anything that I say. Find for yourself. So it's like something that is really related. I leave the floor for you two so that you can answer the questions of the audience. Thank you very much for being here.
Okay.
Thank you, Oliver.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Oliver. We have 5 minutes. I'm looking through the questions, but actually there are I don't see any questions. I see only comments and very warm comments. I'm sitting in my room, but what you see behind me is a picture of our garden in a better season in the autumn. It doesn't look that way today, but I know that when my father would come home, he would take off his informal work clothes and many times put on a light outfit and go and work in the garden. And as I told you, he would check each and every plant, and he loved being in the garden and playing in the garden with his grandchildren. And he planted a few trees with him. He was very unlike the serious academician, strict academician, like what Schiffer was saying about losing her job. Schiffer, you probably have other memories of him in the office and how
I will say some words only. I said something about the questions that he encouraged me all the time to ask. And this was very new for me to ask, that he encouraged me to criticize and to, it was not easy. It was not easy because he was very wise and he had also good answers, but he encouraged all the time to criticize and to ask questions. And this was the way we worked together. It was dialogue. And I was the psychologist. I came as experienced psychologist to do my PhD with him. And he was very strict sociology, very in deep belief in the sociological roots of even of the sense of coherence. So we had such a dialogue between psychology and sociology and between the students and the teacher. And I think I miss this very much. And I'm trying to do it also with my students. Unsimilar to Aaron's, I was his only doctoral student. I had a group of students who are doctoral students all over the years. but the questions all the time are going in and in the dialogue between us.
I would like to
learn from him. Yes.
I would like to add two things. One is Celine, who wrote Laughing and Gardening Are So Good for Health. That's right. So why did he die so young? But Celine said another important thing I agree with. A good question does not have only one answer. It has several answers, and we should go on and study and study. And I want to thank Shimon very much for mentioning my mother, Helen. As Aaron would say, nothing goes, no manuscript leaves home without reading Helen's red pen. And she read every word he wrote. So much of his work is also the fruit of lots of discussions they had. I was too young, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, but a lot of it was a co-production of Helen and Aaron. I see more comments coming in, and very warm comments, and I thank everyone. We must come to an end now, because the next session is going to begin. All the unanswered questions or remarks in the that you have posted will be saved, I hope, and I will post some of them on the Jamboard, or you can also send us emails. I'll leave for whatever few seconds we have. I will leave you our email addresses. And you're welcome to write to Schiffer and to myself.
Yes, you're very welcome to comment, to ask, to whatever you like to say to us. Please do it by email, because we need to leave now.
Okay, our time has come now. Thank you, Schiffer, very much for doing this with me. And Oliver, you take it from here.
Yes, here we go. This is Zoom. This is what happens sometimes when we are online, but we embrace mistakes as a learning process of patience and breathing and these moments of crisis, apparent crisis. How do we deal them? Because we learn a lot about ourselves, the other people, the system, and this is about learning and moving forward. Now, thank you very much, Avishai Antonovsky and Shifra Sagi. We are going to the parallel sessions, advancing the concept of sense of coherence, workshops, symposiums, and oral sessions. Check which one you are going to attend so you don't miss what you are really interested in or more focused. As you know, we have different options to follow in the breaks afterwards, networking, chats, meetings. We're starting to meet people in the networking on the Wonder platform, that is this of the little balls that we meet in and we create chats. We've been 6, 4 before, come and join us. And we recommend not to miss Anuradha Chaudhary's mantra session during the break. We're gonna sing mantras, we're gonna create sounds, different sounds that have a significant impact on the multiple layers of our vibrational nature. As we were doing before with that we are vibrating, but with specific sounds that have an influence on the well-being, emotional, mental, and spiritual levels, as we will see in this case with music. So don't miss that. Enjoy the parallel sessions and see you in a bit.